Ferry Boy NASA. Written by Geeta Hariharan. Ahmad, the ferryman, looked at the eager little face of his grandson. "I know you can handle the boat, but alone?" Ahmed Bai tried to shake his head. "And I'm too sick to get up and cook. What about your lunch?"
"Just sleep. I'll manage," said NASA, tenderly stroking his grandfather's feverish forehead. "I've kept some coconut water near your mat. Don't forget to drink it."
Ahmed nodded and shut his eyes. He knew he should force himself to get up, but every bone in his body felt like it had melted into liquid. And besides, NASA had always been a smart fellow. A little mischievous sometimes, maybe, but... And Ahmed fell into a doze. NASA sat by him till he was sure his grandfather was asleep. Then he tiptoed out of their hut. It was a sunny, cheerful day, not too hot yet. At first, NASA felt sad that his grandfather was sick and sleeping on a day like this. But then, as he skipped down the familiar streets, he couldn't help feeling cheerful. He was heading towards the lake, in charge of the ferry boat all day. It felt great to be a grown-up. Just as he neared the lake, NASA saw a fruit seller with a cart of mangoes walking down the road. In an instant, NASA's face forgot to be grown-up. He looked at the mangoes and his mouth watered. A ripe, golden mango for lunch. The day was getting better and better. The fruit seller saw the boy coming. When the boy was close to the cart, he saw him lean over and whisper to the air near him, "Please buy a mango for me, NASA. You promised, remember?" The fruit seller's mouth opened and froze into a little O. The boy seemed to be waiting for an answer. What sort of magic was this? "Who are you talking to?" the fruit seller asked. No wonder his wife had been telling him he needed glasses.
"To NASA," said the boy.
The fruit seller looked around, amazed and alarmed. Maybe he really was going blind. "But there's nobody here except you and me," he said.
"Is there?"
The boy stood there with a maddening, knowing look, as if to say, "That's what you think." "Show me this NASA you were talking to."
"Show me," said the fruit seller, grabbing hold of the boy's hand.
"If you do, I'll... The fruit seller looked at his cart wildly. "I'll give you whichever mango you choose." The boy leaned towards him, as if he was going to tell him a secret.
"Let's have it then," said the boy.
"I'm NASA, the new ferry boy." All day, NASA worked hard ferrying one passenger after another across the lake.
It was hard work, and he was getting tired, hot, and hungry. When the sun was directly overhead, he wiped his sweaty face and his head and his bare chest with a rag he had dipped in the lake. Maybe his grandfather was right, he thought. Maybe he wasn't completely grown up yet. Nasser tied up the boat safely and lay on the bank, resting. The sun wrapped him in a blanket of sleep. When he woke up, he was still hungry, but he felt better. Time to be grown up again. But first, and he got up and bit into the juicy mango. It tasted twice as sweet as any fruit he had ever eaten. Just then, Nasser saw two large women, one with a goat and one with a basket of fish. "Where's the old ferryman?" they asked him. "I'm the ferry boy for the day," he announced with a friendly grin. "My boat can only take one of you at a time. Which one first?" The woman with the goat tugged Nasser's ear gently, as if he was one of her little goats. "I'll wait. I might as well eat," she said, and pulled out an oily paper packet. She smiled at Nasser and took out a fat, sticky lump of gur from the packet. "Here, pop this in your mouth before you begin to row." Nasser's grin grew brighter as he put the gur in his mouth. Full of new grown-up energy, he untied the boat and picked up his oars. In the evening, just as he was about to tie up his little pile of coins in a bundle and go home to Ahmed, a man rushed up to the boat. The man was dressed in a beautifully white kurta pajama, a lacy cap, and, though it was not cold, a shawl with a gold border.
"Here, boy, take me across the lake,"
the man called out. His eyes and nose were tiny, but as if to make up, he had the largest and wettest mouth Nasser had seen.
"That's a rupee, sir," Nasser said, "or 2 50 pesa coins."
The man's wet mouth yawned open again. "Huh?" he said, amazed. "Trying to teach a scholar how to count, huh?" He made this laughing noise every now and then, but he wasn't really laughing at all. Then the man in white, who had called himself a scholar, peered with his tiny beady eyes at Nasser's filthy shorts, matted hair, and sweaty and sunburnt face. The scholar shuddered with disgust.
"And you say you want 2 50 pesa coins?" he exploded, now more indignant than amazed.
"But, sir, that's what my grandfather always charges," said Nasser, troubled.
"Ha!" barked the wet-mouthed scholar again. "I give your grandfather 2 because he is old and he has been rowing for years. As for you, I will give you only 1 50 pesa. Ha! You're just learning how to do the job."
Nasser was about to argue, then changed his mind. His grandfather needed food and medicine. Nasser was no scholar, but he knew that 1 coin was better than none. The scholar in white got into the boat. He made a big fuss about NASA cleaning the wooden bench where he was going to sit, all the while screwing up his face as if he could smell something dirty. NASA quietly untied the boat and took hold of the oars. The boat began to move, then picked up speed as the wind helped them bob up and down in the right direction. For some time, the man, too, was quiet. He watched NASA rowing. The boy was filthy, huh? He thought. But look at those muscles on his skinny arms. And the boy was rowing almost as strongly and confidently as a grown man. Somehow, this irritated the watching man. This ignorant, dirty fellow being in charge of a scholar's journey from one bank to the other?
Boy!
The scholar suddenly called out over the sound of the wind. Huh!
How many books have you read?
None, sir, said NASA, not looking at the man, but at the moving oars. I never learnt to read.
What? Can't read at all? Huh! What about your grandfather?
There was a strange look on NASA's face. The kind of look that is a mixture of love, pride, and sadness. I don't know, sir, he said, so softly that the scholar could barely hear him. I've never seen him read.
What a shame! What a shame! Said the scholar, shaking his head.
His eyes glinted at NASA strangely.
Huh! I feel really sorry for you, you know.
NASA was silent. But the scholar hadn't finished with him.
Ha!
He said, patting his wet mouth dry with the silky-looking shawl hanging on his shoulder.
Do you know why I feel sorry for you? Half your life has already been wasted.
The scholar shook his head, as if there was no hope for NASA. NASA continued to row silently. The scholar, too, finally fell silent. Now that he had made it clear that he was a clever scholar and NASA just a poor, ignorant boy, he began to enjoy the way the boat rocked in time to the wind and to NASA's oars, just like a cradle. The scholar felt pleasantly drowsy, and he shut his eyes with contentment. Just as he was nodding off, he heard NASA speak. He opened his eyes. He saw NASA leaning towards him, looking concerned. The scholar noticed that the boat was now rocking much harder than any cradle should.
Sir, have you ever learnt to swim? The ferry boy asked.
No, said the scholar. His face, even his mouth, grew still.
Oh, sir, then your whole life has been wasted, said NASA, trying his best to look heartbroken. We're sinking.
Huh?
Yelled the scholar, clutching his gorgeous lacy cap and standing up. He swayed, and the boat rocked even harder.
Huh? You'll have to help me. You'll have to save me.
And he fell plop into the water. All he could scream was,
My new kurta pajama! My silky shawl!
NASA grinned at the whistling wind, as if they had shared a good joke. Then he placed the oars carefully in the boat before he jumped into the lake. Later, on his way home, Nasser stopped at the market to buy something for dinner. Then he bought some tender coconuts for his grandfather. He paid for them with the 4 50-pesa coins he had earned from saving the scholar's life. He ran home, weighed down with packets, wet and cheerful. He was just in time to see his grandfather lighting the kitchen stove, looking weak, but much better. Nasser's grown-up day had turned out to be a good day, after all. The end.